Today on Present at the Creation, Morning Edition explores the origins of the little kid who started out as a comic strip character and ended up with his own shoe line. 100 years ago this weekend, Buster Brown made his debut in the New York Herald. He was invented by Richard Outcault, the illustrator most often credited with the creation of the comic strip. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
Richard Outcault's first popular comic strip character was the Yellow Kid. He always wore a yellow nightshirt, even during the day. And he and his rascally friends were poor Irish immigrants, always getting into trouble in the slums of New York. Years later, the Yellow Kid showed up as Buster Brown's cousin.
Then we've got Outcault drawing in the newspapers.
Chris Runberg-Smith is the archivist of the vast collection of Buster Brown memorabilia at the Brown Shoe Company in St. Louis.
This is the only piece we've got of the Yellow Kid advertising cigarettes, tobacco, and he's got a big stein of beer. You know, you could see why moms might be a little tentative about this.
But many New Yorkers loved the Yellow Kid. He was so popular that the two New York City newspapers that carried the strip were referred to as the Yellow Papers. And when these papers started sensational reporting during the Spanish-American War, the term yellow journalism was coined. Nonetheless, moms found the Yellow Kid too vulgar, and the strip eventually died. A few years later, in 1902, at age 29, Richard Outcault introduced a new character, a little rich kid with a blonde pageboy haircut, who was loosely based on a kid near his home in Flushing, New York. Outcault called the character Buster Brown, and he also got into trouble every Sunday. Richard Olson is a historian and an Outcault expert.
He got into, let's say, a nicer grade of trouble than the Yellow Kid did. He got into trouble by maybe putting syrup in his mother's perfume bottle or doing something that wasn't maybe quite as dangerous as some of the things the Yellow Kid did. In the bottom right corner, the Buster Brown strip would always end with what was called a resolved panel. And in that last panel, Buster would say, "I'm sorry I was bad. I promise never to do this again. I'm going to be a good boy from now on." And, of course, that went over great with the parents.
Outcault's timing for the character was perfect. It was the turn of the century, the genteel age. In almost every strip, Buster Brown wore short pants, a little jacket, and dainty Victorian shoes, and sometimes a wide, saucer-rimmed hat. His family was rich, and that appealed to upper-class New Yorkers.
Buster Brown was drawn to be marketed, and Outcault was very clear about that.
In 1904, Outcault went to the St. Louis World's Fair, set up a booth, and sold licenses to the Buster Brown image, says Chris Runberg-Smith.
He sold anywhere from 40 to 200 licenses of Buster Brown at the fair. And so Brown Shoe Company bought the license to them. And over the years, there's Buster Brown bread and Buster Brown spices and Buster Brown cigars and all sorts of things.
But it was the shoes that took off. And by 1908, a veritable army of midgets and little boys were traveling the country dressed like Buster Brown. They told jokes, performed, and of course urged kids to buy Buster Brown shoes. They were employees of the Brown Shoe Company, and it was a full-time job. They visited 300 cities a year. Some of the midgets worked as Buster Browns into their 50s and 60s. It was a respected profession.
When you read the obituaries of all these men, that was the thing they were the proudest of, and their families were the proudest of, and their communities were. The first Buster Brown, a man by the name of Major Ray, he's the community down in southern Missouri, there's a monument with a picture of him on it. So this was a really important thing.
By this time, Richard Outcault's Buster Brown comic strip was in newspapers all over the country. And underneath the nice clothes and childish pranks was what seemed to be Outcault's desire to look at deeper issues. Archivist Chris Runberg-Smith points to a strip in which Buster goes to the zoo and asks a stork to bring him a baby sister.
And the stork says, "Sure." Well, the stork shows up in their upscale apartment and, you know, Mrs. Brown says, "Shoo, we don't want any." And go down to Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Jones doesn't want it. Mrs. Smith doesn't want it. And Buster says, "Oh, I'll take it."
In the resolved panel at the end of the strip, Buster says, "Now I understand the gravity of this race-suicide question. Society is in a beautiful attitude toward posterity. Goodness, what are we coming to?" Runberg Smith says Outcult was addressing public anxiety over the influx of immigrants in the early 1900s.
There is a lot of talk about upper middle class white families who are having fewer and fewer babies. And you've got all these immigrants coming over who are having lots of babies. And there is a public dialogue going on that somehow the good American race is going to die out unless we start having, you know, middle class white women start having more babies. And the fact that this is showing up in the Sunday paper, I find amazing.
Richard Outcult drew the Buster Brown comic strip until 1920. He spent the last years of his life working with the ad agency he founded to license and market the character. Outcult died in 1928. Mort Walker, creator of Beetle Bailey, says Richard Outcult earned the title Father of the Comic Strip not just for the images he drew, but for creating a new outlet where the analysis and humor of everyday life could thrive.
Cartoons really depict the life of the average person a lot better than history books. History books are all about generals and statesmen, but the comics are about the average guy and what it goes on in the street. He started that whole thing that made us all investigate our lives and comment on it and draw cartoons about it.
And even for people who don't know that Buster Brown began as a comic strip, the image Richard Outcult created of the boy is still popular. People pay thousands of dollars for both Yellow Kid and Buster Brown collectibles. And if you want to find the kid with the wide-rimmed hat, just look on the insides of millions of kids' shoes. His dog Tige is there, too. For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Blair in Washington.